You know, when it comes to creating momentum in our organizations, we have to do something new. New triggers momentum. As we said, tweaking something old may make us feel like we're being productive, but it doesn't result in momentum. And to sustain momentum, we have to be constantly improving.
As I have observed leadership, and as I have hung with leaders for now over 35 years, I've come to the conclusion that the best leaders are listeners.
And you have to decide, does the congregation exist for service, or does it exist to serve us?
Broadcasting from the DBA studios at the Daniel Baptist Association in Ailey, Georgia, it's time for Leadership on Purpose with DBA Director of Missions, Robbie Smith. A time to reflect and learn creative ways to reach our communities for Christ while enjoying a vibrant relationship with our Savior. And now, here's your host, Robbie Smith.
Hey folks, so glad to be with you again. And our podcast last week, I've heard a lot of comments from you about that. I'm glad that's blessing you. And I just pray you continue to use these to find great ideas to reach your community. I also want to say thank you to Chester, who produces this for us. He does all the background work. And Chester, you've just been a blessing to me and a good friend. And I thank you so much for working with us as we impact our churches so they'll impact the communities for Christ.
Yeah, it's been an honor, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. And, you know, we've talked many times before this podcast ever even became an idea in our heads that we've got to do something to help our churches, help our communities. And our communities are sick, and they're suffering, and they're dying, and people are every day going to hell. And so, you know, it's a great opportunity to serve the King. And I appreciate it. And speaking of serving the King, Robbie, what in the world is going on in the DBA? You guys, I say you guys, I know you're right away going to say it's us, it's all of us, but sure. But as the director of missions, you are very busy with some upcoming ministries. Tell us about some of those.
Yeah, well, Chester, as we speak right now, we've got a trailer being moved from Bruton Parker College that's been donated to us from the college, which we're so happy about and appreciate, but we're going to be moving that to the John Jack Neesmith Trailer Park in Wheeler County, where church planter Joey Davis is planting a church. They've been meeting here in the office, our DBA offices, and they've had anywhere from 10 to 18 people coming, but we're bringing that ministry right to that neighborhood. So we're excited about seeing what God's going to do. Next month, we're starting the School of Leadership Development in the state's largest prison, which is in Wheeler County.
Right.
It's in Alamo. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think Reidsville is the largest prison, but it's not true. There's over 3,000 inmates in the Wheeler Correctional Facility. And we've been asked to go in there and to teach how to start new churches, and eventually we'll plant a new church right there in that prison.
Talk about redemption, right?
You know,
a chance to be redeemed and saved, and how about the people? You know, what's your pastor? Who's your pastor? My pastor's a former convict. I mean, praise God. You know, what a Paul story. You know, somebody who was committing such horrific crimes receives Christ and is now used to glorify God.
Yeah, and these guys, when they get out, some of them are getting out between a year and 2 years, and they're going to get out, and they'll start planting some new churches, and they'll have people that will come to their church that would never listen to
you
or I preach.
That's right, you're right.
So that's pretty cool.
Amen.
And then we're going to start our Bible Institute back, which will start September 4th, which is a Tuesday night from 6 to 8:30. And I'll be teaching church growth and evangelism and missions. And so that'll go on for 10 weeks. Anyone can participate in that. The cost for the books is $40, and that takes care of everything.
Tell us why, real quick. Why would somebody, you know, because people, well, I go to church on Sunday, and I go on Wednesday night, and I, you know, I get my fill, but I'm hungry for something else. And that's, by the way, how they talk when they're hungry for something. I'm hungry for something.
Yeah, that's right.
If they get hungry for that, or they just want a little bit more, what are some reasons for somebody who's never participated in that to sign up for that institute?
Well, I guess the Bible reason or spiritual reason, God led them that way. Some people don't know how to share their faith, and they know that they're supposed to, and they live with this guilt of not being what they should be, what they know that God wants them to do, but because of fear or lack of boldness, they have not done what God's called them to do. And what happens with most people, they live with that that guilt all their life. Mm. And I'm just saying, quit living with the guilt. Just deal with it. We'll teach you how to share your faith. We'll teach you how to start, for pastors, teach you how to start, evangelism ministries here in your church. And as you become faithful to the Lord in that, the guilt goes away. It's called obedience.
Right.
You know?
Well, and they should know that this is not like, we're not saying come sign up at some theological seminary and get ready for to beat you over the head with textbooks and beat you over the head. I mean, this is an opportunity to learn some real, not that that's not a good thing, but for people called to that. But this is an opportunity for lay people, you know, mom and pop to come in and sit down and learn some real life biblical applications to make them better and more effective Christians.
Yeah, and that's true. Good point about that. It's going to be very practical. It's not just learning what the book says. We're teaching how to do it. And you'll have times when you go out and do some certain things, learning by doing. And so I'm not a real philosophical kind of guy. I'm very practical. So the course will be very practical oriented. Then also, we have coming up in Wheeler County, Shoot to Win. We've got a new evangelism trailer, and it's got BB rifles in it. It's got some cornhole, I think y'all call them cornhole things.
Y'all,
I call them beanbag toss.
Like, I made that up.
Yeah, well, I hear a lot of people talk about cornhole around here, so it's got that in it, and it's got some other adventure kinds of things. And we'll be doing that September 22nd in Wheeler County. You hear more about that.
Hey, real quick, as an evangelism committee member who apparently can't roll off, I want to make a point about those trailers. Those are available to you, the association. You folks listening right here, if you say, hey, we'd love to have some kind of little fun day out at the church, or we'd like to invite people, but we don't have any money to get this, or the church down the road is spending $600-$800 on these big slides and we can't afford that. Guess what? You don't have to afford it. As members of the association, you can call up here and book what you already own, and that are these trailers. And that's the whole purpose behind these trailers. And if these trailers aren't going somewhere 52 weeks out of the year, then we're missing an opportunity as an association. And that's not Robbie, that's not Casey, that's me and you guys listening today.
Yeah, and Chester, it doesn't have to be a whole church thing. It could be a Sunday school class. You know, I encourage all of our Sunday school classes to do outreach events during the year and do some kind of ministry event once a quarter. And they could use these things. And all they got, it doesn't cost a dime. Just check them out. But we do those kinds of things, Chester, so that we can reach our community for Christ. And one of the best ways, one of the best tools we've been given in our churches to be evangelistic is through our Sunday school class, which is the topic today of involving our class, our small group class or Sunday school class, in outreach.
Now, last month we talked about assimilating into Sunday school or into church through the door of Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about once you got them in there, or the people who are already there, we need to turn that around to minister out, build bridges out to the community, right?
That's right. And Sunday school and churches are built through relationships. People don't come for what you know. They come because of who they know. And they'll come to a class, they'll come to a church because somebody's invited them to come. So we must know what's the purpose of our Sunday school or our small group, or what are we here for? Why do we exist? And one of the things we should exist for is to provide a connection point for people to our church. We're a place for people to belong.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't looking for information, they're looking for a place to belong. Now, when they get there, we want to teach them the scriptures because it's the power of God's word that causes change in someone's life. But they're not going to hear God's word if you don't build a relationship with them first. So it provides a connection point. It also provides a place for relationships to be developed in a small group setting. And that's so important. It's sort of, Chester, it's like doing life together.
Mm.
A small group shouldn't be where they just show up so they can learn about God's word and then they go off and don't spend any time with anybody the rest of the week. It's a relationship building organization.
Right.
And when we build relationships with people, we're making friends. and friends support one another during the tough times and the good times. Mm. So it builds relationships. And of course, of all that, we do all that to get to this. It's a place where interactive Bible study can take place. Again, just because you and I are friends, that doesn't give me the joy in my life, doesn't give me peace, it doesn't give me forgiveness. God's Word does that.
That's right.
Through obedience to whatever God's called me to. So we got to make sure that we don't lose sight of why we're there. We got to make sure God's Word is shared.
And let me say that one of the problems we see a lot in our Sunday school classes, and you, if you're a teacher, or if you're just in there, it's time to be bold and handle this. Prayer time is wonderful. In fact, I've been a part of churches that have done prayer requests at the beginning of services. And personally, and I know some of the smaller churches, they can swing that. But personally, I think that that's not the time for prayer requests. I think the time for prayer requests is when you're in your Sunday school class. However, the warning here is that that is not a time to talk about Mabel May's drinking problem. You know, if Mabel
right.
May has a drinking problem, you guys probably already know about it, and you can just ask for prayer for Mabel May. Sometimes our prayer time becomes gossip sessions in the name of prayer, and then we never pray about it, or if we do, it's, you know, I can't stand this one. Well, God, you've heard all the things that have been lifted up today. Bless them in Jesus' name. I mean, to me, let's spend more time praying for people, less time talking about people, and less time worrying about the specifics of people's problems.
Yeah, and sometimes if God has put such a burden on your heart for this lady that you mentioned, what'd you call her, Mabel?
Mabel May.
Yeah, Mabel May. Hope you don't have a Mabel May in your church.
I think we had a Mabel May at camp, now that I'm thinking about it.
But if she's got a drinking problem and God's put that as a burden on your heart, maybe you need to go talk to Mabel May.
That's right.
But make sure you brought up prayer. Make sure you don't spend more time telling the prayer request than you do the praying.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you spend time in prayer. Which leads us to our next thing. What should a class do? Well, number one, it helps those in need.
Mm-hmm.
It helps their class members as you're doing life together, and it helps those outside the class. It also allows everyone to be involved in the overall work of the church. Remember, your class is not an entity of itself. It is part of a larger organization. It's a cog in the wheel, one might say. So make sure that whatever you do, it is staying within the vision and the purpose of your church. And then it provides Bible truths and principles for everyday living. It's the Scripture and obedience to that Scripture that causes change in people's life, that brings joy, that brings hope, that brings peace, that brings contentment, excitement. We need to make sure we share those principles.
Okay, now, so you know why the class exists, and you know what it does or what it should be doing. And let me warn you, if your class is not doing those things, you need to reevaluate your purpose in your class, because if it's not doing it, why are you meeting? And that's the next question, is why should someone attend? And Robbie, for those who follow with the on dbachurches.com and download the help sheets that go along with this lesson, that's important to understand. That's blank, and it's blank because we can't answer why someone should attend your class. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that varies from class to class and different opportunities. Now, not the purpose, but why someone should attend your class may vary, and it depends on factors of who is there, what you're learning, how you're growing, what part of life you're doing together. For example, you and I, we can't do the same. We can be friends, and we can go to a Sunday school class together. But I'm a young father of two children. You're a older father of grown children.
That's right.
And so there's a different life process going on here between the two of us. So the question as to why should someone attend, that's going to vary from class to class. But you need to know that, right?
That is exactly right. The teacher should know why the class exists, why someone should attend, and that must be kept in their mind all the time when they're teaching, when the class meets. What is their purpose, and why should people attend? And, you know, which brings us to this, why did this whole small group ministry start years ago?
Mm.
And it actually, in 1780, a man by the name of Robert Raikes, he lived in England, and he worked in a prison. And in that prison, he started seeing people from the community just loading up the prison because of breaking the law, of course, but it broke his heart. And he started praying, Lord, what can we do to keep people out of prison? And so after many months of prayer and seeking God's heart, God told him to start a Bible school. Right. Because again, it's the Bible principles and practices that change one's life. So he started it. And when he started it in 1780, in 4 years' time, there were 250,000 children attending.
Wow.
Yeah, and you think that caught the attention of folks. And guess who, Chester, who do you think was the most upset about him starting these Bible schools? Who do you think?
I don't know, the churches?
Yeah, it was, but it was the pastors of these churches.
Okay. Yeah.
They felt like they should be the ones mm-hmm. who instilled truth into people's lives. But here's the funny thing, they weren't doing
That's
it. Right. So they weren't going out and reaching these children, so he did.
Mm-hmm.
In 4 years, like I said, 250,000 people. Now, what I failed to tell you is that these children were working in the factories during the week. So the only time he could have these Bible schools were, guess what day?
Sunday.
Sunday.
There you go.
And Sunday morning is when he did them.
You didn't want to interfere with those pastors in church either.
Yeah.
So.
And guess what he did? He put them in people's homes.
Okay.
He didn't have to build buildings.
Yeah.
Why do we have to build buildings to start new groups? You can put new groups anywhere. You can put them in people's homes and businesses. But that's what he did. Upon his death in 1811, there were 400,000 children enrolled in these Bible schools,
wow.
now called Sunday school. Now, William Elliot in 1785 heard of all that was going on in England, so he brought this Bible school process here to America, and it just went like wildfire all over the country. Every community was having these Bible schools. Farms were being changed. Businesses were being changed. Families were being redeemed. It was just wonderful. And so they decided, we'll just put them on Sunday, of course, and we'll do them Sunday before worship is what they ended up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of churches were doing them. Most churches by that time were doing Sunday school. And, it was interesting. In 1920 came Arthur Flake. Arthur Flake was a businessman and he was looking at the Sunday school thing and he was thinking, we need to have a system to make this work. And he came up with what's now called Flake's formula for Sunday school growth. And just briefly, he said, you got to know what the possibilities are. Now, Chester, we have 51,000 people in our four counties here
right.
where we live. Now, for me to say we're going to reach 72,000 people next year, now that's not a possibility.
Right.
Because there's only 51,000 people. So know what your possibilities are. You must enlist, train, and motivate the workers. You got to do that. You've got to train them. Every church should provide training. The good thing is, Chester, we can provide training through the podcast. Mm. Pastors can release this podcast to their people,
right.
play it for them. They could invite me to come do the training in their churches.
Yeah. Can I interject now?
Please.
This is important because I always like to step on toes. It's so much fun to do that. And so I'm going to do that here. Pastors, Sunday school superintendents, if you are people involved, if you are dealing, and you correct me there, Brother Robbie, if you are dealing with people who don't want to be trained, then you may be dealing with the wrong people. These people, because people need to want to get better. I mean, you know, I don't, y'all can't see this, but Robbie just rolled around in his chair a couple times. I think I hit a nerve there,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, that's so important. And if you're going to sacrifice the direction of God's or the direction of Sunday school under God's will for people who are unwilling to learn, I mean, unwilling to be trained. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we got to make a change, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I've been in ministry over 30 years, and I still go to training. I've been into seminary, graduated, got a master's degree, and I still read books all the time. I still go to training, so I will learn. And if you've got a teacher who says, I've got it all, I know it all, I don't need training, well, it might be next time you're looking for leaders for Sunday school that you might put them on the rest file.
Right.
Because every teacher should be a student.
Right.
A student of God's Word, number one. A student of people and how people learn. It's one thing to know the Scriptures. It's another thing to be able to teach a class the Scripture.
That's right.
And I want to learn as much as I can so I can be effective in making changes in people's lives. Mm-hmm. So leaders are learners.
That's right.
And so we must get trained. The next thing is provide space. Now, I hear this a lot, Chester. I've run out of Sunday school space. We can't grow anymore. Now, the truth is, Chester, when you hit 80% of your capacity in a classroom, you put a lid
right.
of growth.
Right.
A lid meaning you're not going to grow consistently above that 80% mark.
Oh, you can put that same in the sanctuary.
Exactly.
People are uncomfortable. There's too much. It's too crowded. You come into a place that you know that has 80% capacity, and you've got to expand if it's a sanctuary, or you've got to add more classes
yeah.
or more places because of that 80% cap rule.
Exactly right. And so, what do? You know, a lot of churches decide, well, we just won't grow. We're just going because we don't have money to build. Okay, but we're forgetting there's some other places we can have Sunday school class. Sunday school classes can happen in people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
They can happen, you can borrow the DBA office if your church is nearby. You can use a business. There's businesses that will allow us to have Bible study groups, even on Sunday mornings.
Right.
You might even start having Bible study groups on a day other
Whoa.
Than Sunday.
Whoa.
I know, we're
Whoa.
Open to
Whoa.
Pandora's box here.
That's right.
But Scripture doesn't say it has to be on Sunday.
That's right, tradition.
Tradition says
right.
it has to be. Do when it works. Some churches are having Bible studies during the week and having worship on the weekends. Whatever works for you.
And here, how about this, Rob? Not to jump in, but for those who still are resistant to that, let's stop killing ourselves on Sunday. Let's stop getting up before the sun and going to bed after, or going leaving church after the sun, because we're trying to pack everything into the Lord's day. Let's stop being Christians on Sunday, learners on Sunday, and God knows what the rest of the week. Let's set some of this stuff through the week. Let's put it into our lives and live it 7 days instead of living it one day. And for those who are just, man, I gotta have Sunday school at 9:45 or at 10 o'clock, it works, but so does Tuesday night at 7:30, or Tuesday morning at 7:30, or you know whatever's convenient for the people of your class. This, I know, I get on a soapbox every week about tradition, but tradition does very little to move us forward, and very much to impede progress.
Right, and here's the thing: pray. Don't make excuses for not growing because you run out of room in your existing facility. The Lord will give you another option.
Pray and listen.
But you got to pray and listen,
right.
and then what?
And then
obey.
Act upon it. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another thing, I tell churches all the time, do you have a bus or do you have a van? You can actually put a class in the bus,
mm-hmm.
a class in the van. Now, turn it on. Turn the air conditioner on. That'd be nice.
Rolling Sunday school.
Yeah,
have
there you go.
Have your driver drive while somebody teaches.
Chester, some churches they don't have walls to their Sunday school class.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
We have a McDonald's right here in Vidalia.
Right.
You could have a Sunday school class in there.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful. And invite whoever's in the thing.
Yeah.
To whoever's in the restaurant to come join you.
How about outreach, you know? That's outreach right
That's
there.
Right.
Opportunities for outreach.
So provide the space. You got to think outside the box sometimes, or outside the building. enlarge the organization. As you grow, you got to make sure the foundation's built, that you've got enough teachers, you've got enough care group leaders, all those kinds of things. Make sure your organization's big enough. And then here's the biggie. Go after the people.
It sounds almost like the Great Commission.
Yeah,
go.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I call it the sick'em syndrome.
There you go.
God's given us people that need to hear His word. Sick'em. Mm-hmm. Go after them. Love them. And That's his formula. After Arthur Flake, he was a businessman. Because of his mind, the Sunday School Board made him the president of the Sunday School Board. Following him was J.N. Barnett in 1945, and he said, "The Sunday School has a message which is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. The officers and the teachers in Sunday School constitute the church's greatest band of soul winners and trainers of soul winners. And more churches are realizing the possibilities for evangelism which lie in a properly functioning Sunday School. And the Sunday School is formed and operated for the purpose of winning the lost." That's why it was begun. That's why it continues. So we must ask this question: should the purpose of Sunday School include outreach and evangelism? And I think we just saw that it does. Now, Chester, here's a funny thing. When we think of evangelism, we think of soul winning. We think of sharing Jesus. We think of witnessing. We think of outreach. But what most of us practice is virtual evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we believe it. We know the Bible says go and tell and that we should be doing it, but we don't do it.
Right.
Truth be known, 98% of Christians from the time they receive Christ to the time they die have never shared, never won one person to Christ.
Wow.
Never won one person. Worse than that to me is that 95% of Christians never try.
Yeah.
Hello. It is a commandment of the Lord. Worse, let me keep going here, 25% of pastors have never led one person to Christ outside of the pulpit.
See, that's sad.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
But then we wonder what's wrong with our churches. Why are we not seeing something happening? Maybe it's because we're just not being obedient.
Well, we're inwardly focused. We care more about our internal few than the external lost, and it becomes an inwardly versus an outwardly focused issue.
Sometimes when we get to the point where we're trying not to die as a church, we become so introverted that we're hanging on instead of going out. If we'd go back to God's principle of trying to reach our community and make a difference in their lives. You know, what's the Bible say in Matthew 28:19-20? "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Sounds like a commandment to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus said in John 20, verse 21, he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So we must go and tell. You know, in our own association, I've preached as many of our churches, of course, but the population's 51,275. Not attending church is 41,020. You know, we have got a lot of folks coming to church, but we got 41,000 not going to church anywhere, Chester. So that means also in our state of Georgia, we have 7.2 million people unreached in Georgia.
You know, can I digress for a moment?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say this. But when you deal with the kinds of stuff, and anybody who's been in church knows what I say when we deal with the church stuff. It's that whole saying of, well, you know, they got it at every church, you know, that kind of thing. Are you mad at your church? Well, it's happening in every church. Well, you know what? That kind of stuff is disobedience. That kind of stuff is not acting the way we're supposed to be acting. And I want to take a moment, because our churches, between this podcast and our next podcast, many of them will have business meetings. In fact, our association will have a business meeting. And when we meet and have these business meetings, we are more I'm speaking in general terms, we are more focused on what we think is best than what God said is best.
Mm-hmm.
We will fight for hours on who's bringing the casserole and who's bringing the drinks to the next supper that we're going to have, instead of saying, how can we bring the lost, or how can we go to them? Here's an idea, and again, this is just me going off. Brother Robbie's, you know, has no idea where I'm headed, but take the casserole that you're going to make for your next church event to a lost family instead of to church. Instead of us getting together and having family night or family suppers and inviting people that are saved or the people that are in church or the 7 or 10 or 12 or 15 that we see every week, let's take family night into the community. Because we have stopped. Now listen. There's a Twitter, and I can't remember it now, but there's a tweet. And Michael Catt out at Sherwood Baptist has retweeted this many times, and it's a funny tweet. And if you have a Twitter, you should check this out. And I'll look it up during the podcast, try to get that before we go. But it's a fictitious woman who is in a church, and every so often she tweets different little things that just as pastors will giggle at, and a lot of church members. She's that little person who complains about the stuff that's not important instead of being focused on living God's will for her life and fulfilling the Great Commission and so on and so forth. And some of you are listening, you're that person. Some of you are listening and you're that person. And if you're going to be honest with yourself and you're going to be honest with God today, you know that you're the person who's either held on to tradition just for tradition's sake or is uncomfortable sharing your faith. Therefore, you don't want to go share your faith, so you're not going to. But you'll be the first to argue about the kind of music we play or the kind of carpet we have. Our priorities are wrong. And we are falling into a trap that is set by Satan himself to snare the church from doing God's will, from preaching the gospel. And we're spending time fighting amongst ourselves about stuff that's not important. And I don't know, Robbie, if I just rambled on that or if it made any sense. But the reason 80% of our Daniel Baptist population, the community, 80% of the community in our associational outreach area or missionary area is not attending church is because the 51 churches, but 50?
Yeah, 51.
50,
yeah.
Those churches are not, all of them, now some of them are, but as a whole, we're all responsible, we're all in this together, are not living up to the simple commandment that God gave us.
Yeah, and that's the bad news. But here's the good news.
You're such
all
a
that can be changed.
No,
yeah, it can all be changed through obedience to the Lord. You know, we looked at the scripture just a moment ago that the Lord told us to go out and be a witness. And the cool thing, Chester, to be honest, when we're obedient to that, something happens in our own life. And a sense of peace, a sense of calm, a sense of joy comes over our life. It happens to me. I've said this many times that telling somebody about the love of Jesus is better than the best antidepressant that you could buy in the pharmacy.
That's right.
It just changes our life. And I think I know it has to do with obedience. And when we align our will and our actions with what the Lord's will is, He gives us that freedom in our lives. So what do we do with our Sunday school class? We must, number one, get our group involved in the church's existing evangelism strategy. Whatever that is, if your church doesn't have one, talk with your pastor and get one. Teach your lesson on Sunday morning with evangelism in mind. Believe it or not, Chester, not everybody that comes to Sunday school is a Christian. And teachers, if you have a class that has only Christians in it, I implore you to get sick and tired of that, where you start inviting lost people to your class. They can be a member of your Sunday school class if they don't know Jesus. Now, they shouldn't be a member of your church, but they should be a member of your Sunday school class.
That's right.
And then from time to time, you present the gospel in the class. Number three, find someone within your class that will lead the group in outreach. We call that outreach leaders. That should be a focus every week. And give outreach some face time on Sunday mornings, talking about who you can reach, who doesn't attend church, and make a plan. And here's just a basic plan you might consider, a sort of a monthly plan. Week one, have someone share their evangelistic testimony. It blesses everyone's heart when they hear what God has done in that person's life and how they came to know Christ. And the cool thing is, when there's some folks who don't know Jesus attending your class, I have heard people get saved because they heard of someone else's evangelistic testimony. On the second week of the month, assign a class prospect assign class prospect visits to be made by class members. Make sure you are action-oriented in that, making sure, Chester, I ask you, would you go see Aunt Lulabel, visit her? She's not attending church anywhere. Would you attend? And you go and visit Lulabel. Chester's about to break out in laughter.
Visiting. Listen, I have a problem visiting Lulabel because I don't – no offense if Lulabel's listening. I don't like that name.
Oh, well.
Isn't that sometimes our attitudes, though?
Yeah, but that was my grandmother's name, Chester, so be nice.
Well, I'm sorry. God bless you.
So,
was it really?
Yeah, it really was.
Wow.
Yeah, Lulabel Smith.
I'm going to have fun with this. Go ahead.
She lived in Vidalia for many years.
Did she?
Yeah. Week three, allow those making the visits from the previous week to share about their visits. You're going to give a report of how you visited Lulabel. All right? And then week four, spend some time talking about group mission projects. You notice
right.
I did say mission projects.
That's right.
That's not just for the mission team of your church. Mm. Every class ought to have a mission project.
Every class is a mission team.
Right? Yeah, a mission team. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, Chester. I hadn't thought of it that perspective, where you go out and you have a project, a local project. It could be mowing the yard of a person's home. And don't just pick saved people to do it with
That's
or
right.
shut-ins.
That's right.
Go and mow. Find who the meanest person is in your town and go mow their yard.
Right.
It's going to make them speechless. You'll think they're starting to speak in tongues or something. It'll rattle their cage so much. But find out some mission projects. Number next, see if I can get back here. Those weekly focuses help the class fulfill Acts 1:8. Mm. Starting in Jerusalem, going to the ends of the earth. But as a leader, we must set the pace for the class. The teacher is responsible to make sure it gets done. A teacher can't do it all, but they can facilitate getting it done by delegating.
So what are some ideas then, some brainstorming type ideas that we can look at for the Sunday school? Because, you know, and you who are listening, get your pens, get your pencils. We're wrapping up, but give us some stuff, Robbie, that we can take back to our churches and put some feet to.
Biggest thing you can do. Enroll anyone, anywhere, anytime in Sunday school as long as they agree. It doesn't have to, if you don't call it Sunday school, you might call it fellowship groups or care groups, whatever you call it, whatever your small group is. Enroll anyone, anytime, anywhere, as long as they agree. And what, Chester, most of us go to restaurants. And I have done this. I'll ask my server, is there anything I can pray with you about?
Mm-hmm.
That blows their mind because not many people ask them that.
Right.
And then sometime during the conversation, I may ask them, well, you know, I attend a Sunday school class. We would love for you to come to our Sunday school class. Could I enroll you in our Sunday school class?
Mm-hmm.
And they give you all kinds of the looks that they give
right.
you. And I tell them, now, it puts all the pressure on us and none on you. You come when you can. We'd love to have you. But we just want to minister to you. And then I reach over and I pick up my enrollment card. You know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant provides them.
I believe it's your napkin.
It's a napkin. And you know how much it cost me?
Free?
Nothing.
No, you paid for it.
Well, that's right. I do pay the bill. But then I'll write her name, her phone number, her address, her email address on that. And then I go give it to the Sunday school teacher.
There you go.
And then we enroll them in Sunday school, and then we follow up with them.
Right.
Okay? That's important. A number next, you can enroll folks quarterly in worship. One of the largest churches in America is First Baptist Woodstock. And that pastor, Johnny Hunt, will on occasion say, everybody pull out the Sunday school enrollment card and pull it out and said, if you have not enrolled in a Sunday school class, I urge you to do it today. And everybody, even if they're already an existing member of Sunday school, will fill it out
mm-hmm.
so that the neighbor doesn't feel, the one who doesn't attend doesn't feel conspicuous.
Right, right.
And they take that time in the worship service. Johnny also has told his congregation, if you're only going to come to church 1 hour a week, come to the Sunday school hour. Don't
Amen.
Come to worship.
Amen.
Because you're going to get more out of it.
Mm.
You're going to build a group of friends, a relationship with friends, and you're going to learn God's Word, and these folks in your class will help you in your life. And so that's important, having a Sunday, a pastor that will promote it on Sunday, and we'll have a time of enrollment. Have a monthly fellowship and invite everybody.
There you go.
And now, Brother Robbie, if we invite Lucy, we invite her before, she never comes. Well, keep inviting her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going to happen? She'll either get tired of you inviting her and not coming, and she'll start coming,
right.
Or she'll tell you, hey, just take me off the list. But what have you lost? She hadn't been coming anyway.
Right.
But if she comes, she'll be blessed. If she doesn't come, she'll know that someone's thinking about her.
There you go.
Number four, visit your members. I'm talking about teachers. Visit the members in your class once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's tough. If you got a class of 200, but that's bigger than most of our churches.
Right.
You know, most of our classes are going to be anywhere from 10 to 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
You can visit that family once a year. Bless them that way. Do a quarterly mission project as a class. That builds community in your group. Move your class one Sunday to a restaurant. You don't have to meet in your Sunday school class. Like I mentioned earlier, Chester, we could do Sunday school in McDonald's.
That's right.
And invite everybody in the restaurant. Ask the people who are serving you if there's anything you can pray with them about.
Mm-hmm.
That's being outreach focused. Mm-hmm. Action oriented.
Let's be honest now. It takes, for those who are not comfortable, it takes a little bit of prayer to lead up to it. Swallow your pride. Swallow the feelings of rejection and discomfort, and quit thinking about you. But go for it, because I do want it to be clear. You and I have no problem talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our folks listening, that's uncomfortable for them, and we realize that. And me being the guy who 20 minutes ago slapped everybody in the face, you know, I'll come in and come alongside you and hug you now. We realize that that is difficult for some. And it's harder for others, for some than it is for others. That being said, Jesus is right there with you, holding your hand, speaking through you. Moses was afraid to speak. God said, I'll let Aaron do it, but you're still going to be that figurehead. Go in there, even if you're afraid, and let Jesus speak for you, and you be that one that he uses to go to Pharaoh and fight for the cause.
Yeah, here's the deal. Even Paul... The Apostle Paul was known as the boldest Christian that ever lived. He asked the people, Christians, to pray for him that he would be what? Bold in the faith. That's so heartwarming to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to pray for one another that would be bold. And we need to pray for ourselves. Lord, help me be bold in every instance that you called me to share my faith or to invite someone to my class.
In fact, I'll tell you, Robbie and I are going to, and I'm going to make him commit to this. We're going to commit for the next month between now and our next podcast. And Robbie, you have to agree to this. You can't just, you know, sit there and yawn. But let's commit to pray for the boldness of our listeners.
You got it.
We're going to pray for you. This isn't just about Brother Robbie and I throwing these things at you and saying, you got to go do this and you got to go do that. We're going to join you on the battlefield in prayer.
But we're going to do that not just because folks need to hear the gospel, but we pray that for boldness for you so that you don't miss out on the blessings that it is someone to a Sunday school class or sharing your faith. So we will do that. That'll be great. Next thing you could do is present the gospel in your class from time to time. Use a gospel track. Present the gospel. I've seen people come to know Christ. Chester, I was at First Baptist Vidalia, and they had asked me to come and do a evangelism class on how to share your faith. So I went and did it. One of the people in the class accepted Christ in the class.
How about that?
And she was there.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, she was there to learn how to share her faith, but she happened to get saved when she was there. So you never know. Present the gospel. Move your class to the home of a person in a state of pre-conversion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lost person. But pre-conversion is, that means it's not hopeless. Okay? They still have a chance. So we move them into the homes. That'll bless that person. We're going to run through these real quick. We're running short on time. Get to know unchurched people and invite them. If you don't know unchurched people, get to know them. It could be people who are waiting on you at a restaurant. Next thing, birth a new class. Your class should start a new class every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Offer a prayer for your server at a restaurant. Go eight on a date. Get with a bunch of people in your class and go on a date together. Deliver guest bags to prospects. Every person who visited your class, send somebody out with a guest bag.
Yeah.
Saying thanks for coming. It could be four cans of Coke, a bucket that you put some popcorn in, and a bag of unpopped, by the way, popcorn. I've got five more here. Contact each absentee at least every 3 weeks. Don't get offended when they don't come to your class.
Right.
Love on them and care enough, and then call them. Pray for the unchurched during class. Hold a block party in your neighborhood, and you could use the DBA block party trailers.
There you go.
Here's one. How about have a Super Bowl party?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your class have a Super Bowl party. Super Bowl usually happens on what day of the week, Chester?
That'd be a Sunday.
I believe it's a Sunday. But if people will come to your house to watch Super Bowl,
yep.
Present the gospel in the middle during halftime.
Yeah, halftime's not worth watching anymore anyway.
I think your pastor might be okay if you tell him that some folks came to know Jesus
Amen.
During Super Bowl party.
Amen.
Number next, have a coffee ministry at business. Offer to bring some coffee once a month to a business, local business. You'll surprise them. Number one, they'll ask you how much you're charging. And when you tell them for free, they'll say, come on. Number next, prepare lunch for teachers at a school.
There you go. That's good.
And you may not present the gospel.
Right.
But you're showing those teachers that you care. And when they're looking for a church, guess where they're going to go?
They know. It's not like they don't know where you're from or who you are or what you're doing. I mean, you don't have to walk in and scream Jesus at them. They know.
Yeah.
And they'll remember.
Do acts of kindness.
That's right.
Prepare food for firemen and deliver it to the stations. There's so many other things. We're running out of time. But you could ask the Lord what he'd have your class do. And then do it. Be obedient to what the Lord calls you to do. Father, thank you so much for our listeners today. I do pray that you would give them boldness. Father, give them creative ideas. But again, ideas are just that if they never are acted upon. So help us to be faithful to whatever you put upon our hearts. Help us not to live on the circumstances. Help us to lead our community to change, to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we want to do that so they can receive eternal life, so they can receive joy, they can receive peace, they can receive comfort. We also want to do that, Father, so that we will receive that wonderful joy of being obedient to the things you've called us to do. Now use us, and we give you free reign in our lives. Use us as you would have us act and do whatever we need to do, Father. We want to be obedient. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Leadership on Purpose with DBA Director of Missions Robbie Smith. For more information on this program or any information contained herein, contact the Daniel Baptist Association at 912-583-2713 or email rsmithdba@windstream.net.